This is David Haken with KC Cafe Radio at the Surfa Folk Alliance Conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm here with Deb Seymour, who is one of the artists showcasing at the Chattanoogan Hotel. Welcome, Deb.
Hi, David and KC Radio and Surfa. Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background in music.
My background, well, like many small children, I was born and raised in San Francisco, and like many small children, I watched my daddy play the piano, and they figured that I wanted to play the piano too, and so I started with piano lessons with Miss Butler, who was the neighborhood teacher. However, it was quickly discovered and determined that I could not read sight music, could not or would not read music to beings, that I am an by-ear player. This caused a certain amount of frustration for my father, who was a brilliant sight reader, and his oddball daughter. So at some point, I veered off into guitar so we could each have our own instrument, and peace reigned in our household. I know I'm sort of exaggerating a little here, but my other background is that we had music in our household, and my parents were huge Broadway show people. I mean, we went to, you know, we lived in the city, so we went to the shows, we went to Broadway, we listened to Broadway tunes, so it's very influenced by nearly every Broadway tune ever written, Rodgers, Hammerstein, Hard and Low, and then also George Gershwin, which may not be obvious in my music, but there's the variety that you can get. And I learned early on that you can write a song about anything, even before I was like really conscious. And I started writing my own songs at age 10, and I wrote a complete song with three verses, a chorus, and a bridge, and everything. Not knowing, of course, the names for any of those. So it's just been going on since I was 10, and I can't seem to make it go away. It's okay, we don't want to go away.
Well, tell us what the spark was for the first song you're going to share with
us. Oh my goodness, spark. Funny you should say the word spark. So among my passions besides music is electric cars. I am a member of the Seattle Electric Vehicle Association. I have been driving an electric car ever since 2007, when I saw this funny little two-seater car go by in the department store parking lot, and I had no idea what it was, but it was completely silent, so it startled me. And I dropped my groceries and I ran up to this guy and I said, "What are you driving? And is that really all electric?" And he said, "Yes." And it turned out it was this little Canadian-made car called a Zen by the Zen Motor Company in Toronto, Ontario. And Zen stands for zero emissions, no noise, Z-E-N-N. Well, I thought that was beyond my reach, but I wound up getting one, and I drove it for 8 years with low speed, you know, no range on this. This is not a Tesla Roadster, but I had that for 8 years and kept the gasoline vehicle for the long road trips. And I was so enamored of my Zen, I wrote a song about it. And here's your song about my first electric car, first electric love of my life. Electric. hard to bear. It's a penny a mile to drive from here to there. So give up your Guzzler, ditch the Dodge, shove that Chevy back in the garage. It's time to get current and go with the flow. Accept it. My little car is all electric.
Thank you. Love it.
And is this the time where I'm supposed to say that the Zen had a good run?
Yes, tell us. The Zen,
unfortunately, sort of ended up running. I rode drove until the tires came off. It actually got cannibalized into another person's Zen. And then I got lucky and scored a used Tesla Model S. I'm driving a third hand. You can get Tesla Models on Craigslist. And that's what I drove to Chattanooga.
All the way
from Seattle, Washington.
Wow.
So, and I looped through the Southwest, so I've done 3,700 miles all electric. And I'm sure in some places I was plugging in natural gas and coal, but, you know, that's a whole other story. But I just love the fact that I did not buy a drop of gasoline to get here, and I won't on the way back. So, yes, the bug-spattered car, Tesla, that you see in the garage with the Washington plates, that's mine.
Wow.
Oh, and his name is Sir Percival T, the White Knight.
Okay, I think there's another song coming.
There is. To the White Knight, whose strength is that of 10 because his fuel source is pure. Anyway.
So tell us about your most memorable show.
This is such a goofy, goofy show. I was in a Celtic band for many years in Boulder, Colorado, called Seventh String Celtic Trio. And we were hired to play the Scottish something, the Scottish McSomething Guild dinner in Estes Park. I can't even remember. It was so long ago. I don't remember what it was. But the band, our job was to play sweet little tunes while the courses came in. This is like a multi-course banquet. And all of a sudden, in the middle of singing, all these guys, they're all businessmen from the local area, but they all have, you know, their kilts and they're all bragging about, oh, the McLeods are better than the MacArthurs are better than this. And this is an offshoot of the Estes Park Highland Games, which is the fourth largest in the country. So I mean, should you add that for some context? So we were hired, this was a fall dinner. So, and actually, I correct myself, we weren't the trio yet. David hadn't joined us, so it was Ann Crone and myself, so we're the duo. And our job was to play pretty music while the meals were piped in. So these guys are all posturing and doing all this stuff and yelling about which clan is better than this and drinking their ale. And then all of a sudden, this knife fight breaks out. But we didn't realize it was an actual fight. We thought it was part of the act. So we sat down and ate our dinner. And later, the fellow who hired us followed us to the hallway in a rage and said, that was your job to keep those guys calm down, and you didn't, and we're gonna not pay you. And all of a sudden, we're just like, I think this is probably the only case of musicians threatened not to be paid because we didn't keep the audience calm. You know, if I'd been a little more with it, I would have said, well, you know, there's psychiatrists for this. Maybe you should have hired them for this dinner. But I just thought that's the goofiest, one of the goofier shows that I remember is being threatened. Luckily, the guy's wife came in and we were paid, but we were just like, we thought it was part of the act.
Tell us about your most recent album.
My most recent album is called Blame It on the Dog. And it was recorded at the Winter Blue Room in Seattle, Washington with Alicia Healy, producer and engineer. Features a whole bevy of local Seattle musicians that, at least we all know who they are in the Northwest. And it's, again, it's my fourth CD. It is a collection of demented wit, haunting blues, and moving ballads. It's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I'm having fun with it. It seems to be my animal album. There's 12 songs on it, and six have animals in them somehow. So I guess if you can have your car album and your working album and your this album, you've got the animal album.
Very good. Well, play us another song.
Okay. I'm going to play the title track from Blame It on the Dog. Of course, that's sort of a spoiler, isn't it?
That's fine.
Arr! What would we do without dogs? Man's canine companion, his best friend. They love you, all of you, and when your world goes wrong, they'll never, ever leave you, not day nor all night long. Now, poochies are for petting and to keep your feet warm at night. To bark at bumbling burglars, wake you up at morning's light. But there's one more thing that we forget that faithful Fidos do. They'll bear the brunt of any stunt, even those they did not do. Blame it on the dog, blame it on the dog, though you're the one that was the culprit all along. He will answer to his name and won't contest your claim. Go ahead, blame it on the dog. That paper's due, you know, that one you meant to write. You had better things to do, like party half the night. So when it's time to turn it in, you simply smile and say, I'm sorry, Teach, but it's out of reach. My dog ate my thumb drive yesterday. And you've been up all night and taking pride in deep debauchery. Those loving oohs and ahs, they kept you up till way past three. You stumble into work 3 hours late, but yet. Oh, I'm sorry I'm late, boss, but my dog got really sick last night. I was all night out. What of that? Blame it on the dog, blame it on the dog. You're the one that was the culprit all along. You answer to his name and won't contest your claim. Go ahead, blame it on the dog. You had to eat that plate of beans and wash it down with beer. You ate with no restraint and no regard for who was near. And when at last it comes to pass in one great greasy fog, oh, well, it's true. You all out there know what to do. You blame it on the dog. Fluffy! Blame it on the dog. Blame it on the dog. You're the one that was the culprit all along. He will answer to his name and won't contest your claim. Go ahead, blame it on the dog. Everybody, blame it on the dog. Blame it on the dog. But you're the one that was the culprit all along. He will answer to his name and won't contest your claim. Go ahead, blame it on the dog. That's right, blame it on the dog. Fido, blame it on the dog.
Thank you, Deb.
Poor dogs. Thank you, David, and thank you, KCF Cafe Radio Audience.
Thanks for coming and sharing your music.